Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got an exciting show for you this evening, filled with information from both extraterrestrial sources and yogic masters. And before we get into the program, I'd like to share with you the numbers again so that you can call in and ask questions concerning the material presented here this evening or in any of the previous shows. And for USA and Canada, that's 888-228-4494. For USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. And worldwide, 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. And also for those that have been regular listeners for ET Yoga and may have questions concerning some of the material, these can be answered at maxwellgreensite.com. That's Maxwell as in Maxwell House Coffee, green as in the color, site.com. And for those that feel more comfortable writing in their questions as opposed to phoning in, those questions can be emailed in to paperfungo, that's paper as in paper, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. Paperfungo at yahoo.ca. As a promotion to this program, during the week, I had mentioned that one of the things that would be relayed to our audience would be the name of the civilization, extraterrestrial in nature, that we would be having first contact with. And as a prelude to that, I would like to say that this information comes from Bashar, and for those who are not familiar with Bashar, I'll give you a little background information. Daryl Anka is a channel, and Daryl channels an entity known as Bashar. And Daryl doesn't spend time trying to prove that Bashar is an extraterrestrial. And when Bashar comes through Daryl, he doesn't try to convince people either, because the main point of all the information is the information. And it is such an amazing source that Daryl has been going around the world for the last 23 years sharing the information from Bashar. And the reason that he does this is that it changes people's lives. And it's one of the best sources of information on any subject you want to name. And for those who haven't clued in yet to Bashar information, he has a website, and it's www.bashar.org. And further information about Bashar. Bashar is from a civilization called Esasani. And Bashar in particular is from 2,700 years in our future and is from a hybrid civilization, and hybrid meaning a mix. And that particular fact will become even more important as we go on with the show this evening. So the information from Bashar, in essence, is this: that the first civilization who will have contact with Earth is already here. And they've been seen in our skies, and most notably are connected with the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights. And for those in the Phoenix area who have had a personal contact with this phenomenon, or have had a particular angle or vantage point to notice, the particular craft that's been hovering over the Phoenix area is wedge-shaped and about a mile in length. And according to Bashar, another close encounter will again happen in 2010, again in Arizona. And the name of the particular civilization that's aboard that craft are called the Shalanaya. The Shalanaya, in name, means those who will come first. Now, part of the mission, as I understand it from Bashar, is to initiate Earth into the Association of Worlds. But the first civilization who will make contact with Earth will be the Shalanaya. And he also states that in 2012, similar sightings to that in Arizona will also occur at various sacred sites simultaneously all around the globe. So I think it'll be clear by that time for everyone that lives on the planet that, in fact, yes, we are being visited by extraterrestrials. A further interest for those who feel as if they were involved with any sort of abduction scenarios that have taken place over the last 20 years, and especially to those women who feel as if they possibly have mothered children from an extraterrestrial race. Bashar confirms this and basically says that the Shalanaya will have an important role in reuniting those people with their children. Apparently, part of the abduction scenarios were a product of an extraterrestrial race who needed our DNA in order to perpetuate their civilization. And a hybrid race of humans and extraterrestrials was created. Actually, there were several hybrid species that were created, and one of those turned out to be Esasani, which is where Bashar is from. And with respect to any other type of extraterrestrial exposure on the planet, note that the Earth is under quarantine until 2012, which basically means that there will not be any public contact until after that date. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't lots of contact scenarios going on, but the first official public contact will come after that date. With respect to the remainder of our program, there will be a focus on specific techniques, both given by a variety of extraterrestrial sources. And I should also point out that, in my opinion, the public contact with extraterrestrials is somewhat similar to the time of Columbus, when Columbus was basically given credit for discovering the New World. In point of fact, many researchers have proven that a number of others also had visited the New World, but Columbus got credit for it, and historically we've always considered his discovery of the New World as being sort of similar to what this first contact scenario will be like. And the particular sources of information that I'm particularly tuned into are Pleiadian, Sirian, Arcturian, and Esasani. And the first technique that I'd like to share with people tonight, and I might suggest that paper and pen might be of use this evening. Of course, all of these techniques that I'll be sharing with you tonight can also be obtained at themaxwellgreensite.com. The first technique is called the Pillar of Light and Spinning Techniques, and this comes from Pleiadian sources, and specifically from the original book by Barbara Marciniak, Bringers of the Dawn. And this is a quote from the Pleiadians. "From our point of view, you all have knowledge, and you just need to activate the memory that is stored inside your being. We've noticed that some of you, from your location of experience are out there moaning and groaning, saying, we need help and assistance now and again. So let us suggest to you an avenue that you can definitely walk down, a formula that works. The formula is quite simple. It is for you in the moment and every day to consistently set out with clarity what you wish to experience. Perhaps what you want falls into a category of impossibility according to someone else's boundary or someone else's limitation. With a sense of deserving and graciousness, discover inside of yourself what will bring you happiness. What makes you feel light and connected and alive? What do you desire that will bring peace on the planet as you occupy your own being? Whatever those things are, begin to want them. Call them to yourself by saying, it is my intention that I experience a harmonious lifestyle. It is my intention to experience health and energy that lead me to creative adventures. It is my intention that I be well provided for, that shelter and food and all of the things that I need to experience life be given to me in great abundance, and that I pass this great abundance on and share it with others. These are not ideas you have been trained to think of. Two or three times a day, devote a small portion of your time to getting clear about what you want. Every day, open the energy centers in your body and above your body by calling the frequency of light. We call this the pillar of light. Picture a beam of light coming into your 12 chakra centers, 7 inside your body and 5 outside your body. These chakras are information centers or vortexes that, once activated, begin to spin. When they spin, they create a movement inside your body that activates the light-encoded filaments to work together, rebundle, and form the 12 evolving helixes in the body. It is very important for everyone who wishes to be in complete balance with their physical being to practice on a regular basis some kind of deep breathing program. This is a program in which breath is very important, and oxygenation is practiced so that oxygen is brought into the body. Another activity we recommend for those of you who wish to move into a vast acceleration of energy is spinning. Move from left to right, spinning around and focusing your vision on your thumb, counting and spinning. We recommend that you spin 33 times at least once a day. You may build up to the 33 spins very slowly. If you are able to work up to 33 spins 3 times a day, so that you are spinning 99 times, well, we will see how long you stay on the planet, or at least in this dimension. When you complete spinning, however many times you spin, bring your palms together at chest level. Press them together, keeping your eyes open, and balance yourself with your feet a shoulder's width apart so that you feel anchored and still feel the spinning at the same time. This tremendously accelerates the spinning of the chakra systems inside your body, which tremendously accelerates the rate at which you can interpret and receive data. So the methods to use are intention, breathing, using the pillar of light, and spinning. We will add a postscript to these. As you are electronic beings who are altering your frequency at a very fast rate, we would recommend that you drink a tremendous amount of water, fresh water, purified water, or spring water. Water acts as a conduit or conductor. It keeps your system open and flowing. I should also point out that in the ebooks at the maxwellgreensight.com are specific instructions for the deep breathing exercises called pranayams. And in my ebooks, those were taught by Swami Sachidananda. The next technique that I would like to share is called the Merkaba meditation. I'd like to mention that when I think of the Merkaba, basically I think of a pyramid. And the idea would be to see yourself inside a pyramid and feel the energy. And if you haven't seen counter-rotating tetrahedrons, I would suggest going on the internet and under a search engine punching up animated rotating tetrahedrons. And what you need to visualize in this particular exercise is a large tetrahedron and inside it two smaller ones, and you are inside the two smaller ones, each inverted pyramids that are rotating in opposite directions. Now, I've never had any formal training with activating the Merkaba. Most people have learned the version taught by Dronvalo Melchizedek through the Flower of Life organization. I started when I spotted a 3D Merkaba on the net and used to visualize myself sitting inside of it. I then picked up information that everything in 3D has a Merkaba around it, which makes total sense to me, but obviously unproven. I then found under the Shambhala multidimensional healing network site the following Merkaba meditation, and I quote, "Okay, let's start in our usual way. Take some deep breaths and release the breaths. See the light. See the love. Trigger the light. Just feel the whole of your body expanding. Feel your subatomic particles, your molecular structure, becoming activated with light, becoming activated with love. Now we're going to work with our star tetrahedrons, our static and counter-rotating star tetrahedron fields. So what I'd like you to do as you breathing deeply, as you're breathing in, to just see if you can feel your counter-rotating star tetrahedrons and your static star tetrahedron becoming activated with this energy of love, this energy of light, the Mahatma energy. The static star tetrahedron is a pyramid that surrounds the two tetrahedrons. Two pyramids, one inverted and intertwining. Now affirm. I affirm my counter-rotating star tetrahedron fields are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 3/10 the speed of light now. And then pause. Now affirm. My counter-rotating star tetrahedron fields are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 5/10 or half the speed of light now. And then pause. Now affirm. I affirm my counter-rotating star tetrahedron fields are now counter-rotating in a balanced way at 7/10 the speed of light now. And pause. Now affirm. I affirm my counter-rotating star tetrahedron fields are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 9/10 the speed of light now. And pause. Now affirm. I affirm my counter-rotating star tetrahedron fields are counter-rotating in a balanced way at 99.9 the speed of light now. Now I'd like you to focus on expanding the top part of your star tetrahedrons, which is a three-sided pyramidal structure coming to a point. I'd like you to see and feel, visualize this top part of your star tetrahedron stretching onwards above your head, onwards and upwards multidimensionally. First of all, connecting with the fifth dimensional Christ consciousness grid about 75 miles above the surface of your planet. This connection with the Christ consciousness grid, feel the love. Feel these Christ loving energies flowing into your energy field and empowering you with the energy of love. Now see and feel the bottom point of the star tetrahedron connecting with the central crystal of Mother Earth. I've also done this omitting the connection with the Christ grid and affirming that now my counter-rotating star tetrahedron fields are counter-rotating in a balanced way faster than the speed of light. I have had what I call very good meditations and experiences using both these methods, and I came across an article on the Dan Winter website entitled Merkaba Tilt. And from an unknown speaker, says, I learned the basic version taught by Dronvalo through the Flower of Life organization. I then took a workshop from an individual who was traveling around the country professing to teach advanced Merkaba techniques. However, no matter what technique I learned from him or anyone else, my higher self told me that it was not complete. There was always something missing. I wasn't sure what that was, but I was determined to find out. I got a clue of the missing piece after taking the advanced course. He taught various geometric forms other than the tetrahedron, referring to them as other Merkaba fields. When I left his course, I knew the missing piece had something to do with the geometric shapes, but as close as he came, he still didn't have the complete picture, at least not completely enough to satisfy myself. About a year later, I spent time with Dan Winter. In our conversations, we discussed the Merkaba, and he mentioned that that the head needed to tilt back 32 degrees, entering the phi golden mean ratio, before it could actually transcend the speed of light. Well, I didn't know phi from pi, but when he said that, every cell in my body twinkled, and I knew I had finally found the answer. I tried the technique, as did my friend, and the sensation was amazing. It was not like any Merkaba activation we had ever experienced. The 32-degree tilt is also the tilt angle of the chin of the Sphinx, and corresponds to the pump mechanism of the Kundalini. You may experience this yourself when you do the technique. When your head tilts back and your Merkaba spins faster than the speed of light, you may notice that your anus involuntarily contracts and your Kundalini becomes active along your spine. I understand that the head tilt is now being shown in one of the Flower of Life videos, though I haven't seen it personally. Okay, enough already. You want the bottom line? Let's put it together and make it usable. It's easy and fast. First, sit with your spine straight as you want your central channel unobstructed. Come to the point in your meditation in which you visualize your star tetrahedron around you, and you say, equal speed. Exhale or blow. Next, inhale and visualize a cube around the tetrahedron and say 3421. Exhale or blow. Inhale and see a dodecahedron around the cube and say 9/10 the speed of light. Exhale or blow. Inhale and tilt your head back about 32 degrees and imagine your cube tilting back into the dodecahedron. Say faster than the speed of light. Exhale or blow. Notice as the head tilts back that a type of pump is formed from the tilt of the head, the straight spine, and the angle of the sacrum. Relax with the head resting back and notice if your spine becomes hot or tingling as your Kundalini activates. Also be aware of the terrific spin of your Merkaba. You may find yourself almost locked into this position as it feels cleansing, open, and awe-inspiring. When you're ready, straighten your head back to its normal position. End of quote. My experience is consistent with the writer and his friend and is a superior method, in my opinion. I find that when I do the Pleiadian Pillar of Light meditation, that my head naturally locks into a 32-degree tilt as well. I offer these various options so the listener can follow their own guidance systems. The next technique I'd like to share is the visualization as taught in three phases from Bashar's teachings. First, see it. That's the mental part. Visualize it, imagine it, daydream it, visualize it clearly. You don't need to visualize it for a long time. A short time is sufficient, but you need to visualize it clearly. You need to have a solid, clear picture. Visualizing it creates the blueprint. So see it in great detail. See it, become an efficient mental antenna to receive this version of reality. The second part, feel it emotionally. Get excited and passionate about it. How would you feel if you had it now? Feel that now. Plug into your vision with all your emotions and all your senses as if you had it now. Involve all your senses. Imagine smelling it, touching it, tasting it, etc. Feel it. Become an efficient emotional antenna to receive this version of reality. Third, be it physically. Physical action. Do it to ground the experience. Do actions that most closely mimic the actions you see yourself doing in your vision. Gather and use whatever props mimic that scenario, and do a dry run. Doing this, make-believe, physical action trains the body consciousness. This makes it real for you now, so the universe then delivers it to you. Note, this physical action does not directly cause this desired reality to manifest. Instead, this physical action creates a more precise vibration in yourself, making you a better antenna to receive it. By you becoming more aligned to the same vibration, the reality you desire already exists. You do not have to create it. You only have to receive it. Be it, become an effective physical antenna to receive this version of reality. You already have everything you desire. Since you contain everything and all possible versions of your reality are all actually simultaneously existing and real, you therefore already have everything you desire or could ever desire. You contain it all. You have already been given everything you could ever hope to have or want. It's just that it may not be visible and therefore real to you. Creation all exists here, now, outside time in one eternal now moment. Therefore, everything that you believe you might someday get, you actually already have. Everything is here now, but in varying states of visibility or invisibility, depending on the frequencies on which you are vibrating, which depends on the beliefs that you accept as real. When you pray for something, you do not need to pray to get something you do not already have, since it's already right there in front of you. Instead, you are actually praying to be able to see that you actually already have it. Because when you can see that you already have it, then your vibration frequency matches the vibration of that which you desire. And once you frequency match with that which you desire, then it has to manifest in your reality. Everything is energy. You cannot help but then get that reality because that's the physics of how the universe works. When you match frequencies with what you desire, you will then see that it has always been right here, just waiting for you to notice it and start enjoying it. And with respect to handling challenging situations, before you start, make sure you are thinking of this as a challenge rather than a problem, because problems are by definition difficult to resolve, and it is actually the way you choose to define your reality that determines the outcome you experience. A challenge is much more likely to have a desirable outcome than a problem. Then go into your imagination and imagine the version of reality you would like to be experiencing. Make sure you are including yourself in that picture. Specifically imagine the ideal version of you, the you you would most like to be. Then insert this current challenging situation into your imaginary scene and notice how this imaginary ideal you handles the situation. Then just copy that behavior out here. act the same way that the you in your imagination acted when confronting this situation. You know everything you need to know to be who you desire to be at any given moment. With respect to feelings and beliefs, your external physical reality is a feedback loop to let you know what your beliefs are. This way, if your external reality is not what you prefer, you can change your beliefs in order to change your external reality. Your feelings are the result of your beliefs. To discover what your beliefs are, you can work backwards and ask yourself, what would I have to believe in order to end up feeling this way? What would I have to believe in order to end up perceiving this type of physical reality? When you change your beliefs about any particular reality or issue, you instantly also change how you feel about that particular reality or issue. This is why the interpretation, belief, you give any situation determines how you feel about it. With respect to neutral props, in a theater that shows many plays, there may be some props backstage that are frequently used for several different plays. For each play, that prop has a special meaning. But outside that play, the prop has no innate, intrinsic, built-in meaning. All the props are basically without meaning. From this innate absence of meaning, we can assign any meaning we want to them. Likewise, all the events that you are experiencing as happening in your life are neutral props. Each event you experience has no innate, built-in meaning. These events are blank, neutral, no innate significance. And from this blank slate, we get to assign any significance or meaning we wish for each event we experience. If you assign a positive meaning to an event, this will produce a positive experience for you. If you assign a negative meaning to an event, this will produce a negative experience for you. Important. The corollary to this is, if an event occurs to you that you would normally automatically assign a negative meaning to, this is a real bummer, choose to assign a positive meaning to that event, even if it appears negative and you do not yet know what is so positive about it. Just by assigning a positive meaning to this event and choosing to believe there is something really good about this for you, this will produce an experience that you will consider quite positive. Try it. Next time you think, this is just terrible, turn it around and believe, this is really positive. This is really going to be good. I can't wait to find out what is positive about it. You may even be startled by how effectively this works. Follow your excitement. Act on it. Excitement is caused by a resonance with your higher self. Excitement is a sign that the activity you are contemplating is aligned with your higher self. And this alignment is what causes the excitement. This naturally leads you to what you are meant to be doing, what your soul hopes your free will chooses to do. Mechanically, excitement is a high state of resonant excitation that occurs when the thinking plus intentions of the physical dimensional self are sharply aligned with the thinking intention of its own higher self. So excitement serves as a compass to let you know when you're on course. When you are doing or contemplating doing exactly what your higher self would just love to have you be doing. When you follow your excitement and do what excites you, this means that, one, this activity is you, truly aligned with your soul. Two, because it is you, this activity is effortless for you. And three, because it is you, the universe will support you, including financial support, to continue doing this in progressively expanding ways. If you have something to give in the reality you are creating, there are people ready to receive it. If someone has a song to sing, there is an audience in that reality to hear it. Fear or anxiety is excitement with a negative judgment tagged onto it. Remove the negative judgment, and you have excitement. Trusting your timing. We, as our higher self, oversoul, actually creates time as we experience it. Our higher self exists outside time and space. It projects portions of itself into specific time-space holograms, time-space matrices, which we then experience as an incarnation. So from the point of view of any one incarnation, there is time, there is past, present, and future. But from the point of view of the higher self, there is no time. It's all happening now. It's just one big eternal now. So keep in mind that our higher self is creating the actual time that we are experiencing in a linear fashion. When we intensely want to do something now, and it is easily possible to do it, no problem. We just do it. But if we intensely want to do something now and it is not possible to do it now, we are then at a critical decision junction. When you follow your excitement in the moment, each now moment, this leads to positive synchronicity, things magically working out in a way that is delightfully and surprisingly pleasing. When you ignore your excitement and are instead led by your fears and worries, this leads to negative synchronicity, upsetting events, the very things you wish to avoid. Positive synchronicity is the occurrence of events that are perfect reflections of your preferences and desires. Negative synchronicity is the occurrence of events that are perfect reflections of your fears and worries. We can choose to interpret this as, I am not getting what I want, or we can choose to interpret this as, I always get what I want. If it's not available now, then there must be an excellent reason for this. Which of these choices we make is critical in determining the outcome, as this choice is equivalent to selecting a belief, and we then experience the outcome aligned with that belief. If you choose to interpret the situation as, I'm not getting what I want, then sure enough, you will continue to not get what you want. But the alternative is this. Choose to interpret this situation of not being able to do what you want to do now as, I always get what I want. I always get what I want. If it's not available now, there must be an excellent reason for this. You see, often our higher self arranges time in such a way that we do not get what we want when we initially want it, only because it wants us to first accumulate certain experiences, certain skills, certain appreciations, certain connections with other people, certain awarenesses first, so that when we do get to experience this thing we want, we will then be appreciating it and enjoying it on a much deeper and more profound level. So when you want to do something and it is not immediately available, remember, your higher self is merely delaying this experience so you get some other experiences first, so that you may enjoy and appreciate this thing you want even more when you do get it. So when you want to do something and it is not immediately available, trust your timing. Do not buy into the belief that I do not get what I want. Instead, remind yourself, I always get what I want. I always get what I want. If it's not available now, then my higher self must have some experiences it wishes me to have first, so that when I do get what I want, I'll be able to enjoy it even more. I'll be able to enjoy it on a much richer, deeper basis. And now from one of the ancient yogic masters, Sri Ramana Maharshi, and his famous Who Am I technique. The idea here is to place your consciousness in your third eye with the conscious attention that I am this spot and ask the question, who am I? You can do this repeatedly and at various times during the day for as long as is comfortable. This inquiry will dissipate other thoughts. Then repeat the following when your full consciousness is centered in your third eye and you are repeating to yourself that I am the spot. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot? You may or may not have an experience at this point. The idea would be to repeat the process with as much focus as possible. This particular technique, the Who Am I technique, was also taught by Swami Satchidananda, and the Vichara, as it's known by Ramana Maharshi's disciples, was an advanced technique that was only taught to his more advanced pupils. And from the College of Christ Consciousness, I'd like to share with you how to reprogram an old belief. First, acknowledge, own the fear or pattern. Two, ask, what keeps me believing in that fear? What will happen if I let go of it? What is the payoff for keeping it? The truth is, there always is one. What do I get to do or not do if I keep the fear? And the truth is, a pattern or belief can never be changed as long as you really believe that changing it is more fearful than keeping it. Number three, decide if this pattern serves you anymore. Decide if you want to keep the program or change it. If you decide to keep it, observe why without judgment. Number four, if you decide to change it, decide what you want to change it to. Be specific. You must decide on a new belief, a choice for a new perception. If you willingly choose to believe in a new reality, you can eliminate fear. Number five, state your intention, what you intend to create. Instead, say, I intend to create such and such. Your intention must include willingness to allow the change in your life. Six, ask Spirit, your highest self, for guidance, then release control of the manifestation of the intent to Spirit. Seven, trust. Fears and erroneous beliefs have supported us, and we tend to want to hold on to them through our anger or other emotional reactions because it's the only way of life we've known. Fears can be survival tools, but it will keep us locked in a lower vibration that doesn't help our life in a positive way. And these seven steps can be found on your internet under the College of Christ Consciousness as channeled through Mary, Mother of Jesus. I'd like to remind everyone again before we get into the last portion of our program, which will be an actual extraterrestrial meditation that I think is a real doozy, and it's called the XYZ Meditation. And after the meditation, I'll be asking for any callers who would like to call in and ask questions this evening. And those numbers, again, are in the USA and Canada. That's 888-228-4494. That's 888-228-4494. Worldwide, the number toll-free is 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. And I appreciate that given the format of a radio program that's an hour long, there's a lot of information that was given here tonight. If you found that at any given point that I was going too fast, this information is obtainable on the website at maxwellgreensight.com. And if you're looking through Google search engine, for example, you can find that under Healing the Known and Unknown. And for those who would prefer to write in questions can be emailed to me at paperfungo, that's paper as in paper, fungo, F-U-N-G-O, at yahoo.ca. Now for the finale of tonight's program, I'd like to share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity. And it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity. But it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 back and forth. And out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds to build until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. Bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. and now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent, until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is, and as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized. And for those who are interested in obtaining the original of this version of the XYZ technique, it can be obtained at the Bashar website at www.bashar.org. And it is actually side four on the tapes that are called A Matter of Faith. I'll now ask for callers. You may want to ask questions about this evening's program. And again, those numbers are in the USA and Canada. That's 888-228-4494. That's the USA and Canada, 888-228-4494. And worldwide, that's 877-489-6350. That's 877-489-6350. In the interim, I would like to share with you one of the questions that was emailed in. And the question is, what is the best way to activate DNA? And with respect to that, you will move into increased brain capacity by intention, number one, and drinking plenty of water, replacing the essence of your being, and by deep breathing. Oxygen pulled into the system begins to feed the system and begins to awaken tiny fibers of light-encoded filaments called DNA. Okay, we'll take our caller's question, if there's a caller.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, this is Ken. I'd like to speak to, have a question for Charlie, please.
Okay, go ahead, Ken. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, but I can hear you well enough that I'll be able to hear your question.
Okay, I'll speak up. Earlier in the show, you mentioned the Satchitananda, and I'd like to know the influence that that gentleman has had on your life personally, and also another fellow that I have heard and read in some of your writings you mentioned is Ram Dass. And I'd like to know just how these gentlemen have influenced you in your life.
Well, Ken, that's an all-nighter. Although I'll try to give you some background. Baba Ram Dass was actually his former name was Richard Alpert, and he used to be a professor at Harvard University. And this is a guy who went to India and basically got involved in a spiritual quest. And when he came back to North America, he went around the country, and I know at this point he's become, for those who were involved back in the 60s, he's sort of a guiding light. And I guess in his own terms, there are two kinds of gurus. There are sat gurus who point the way and upa gurus who are the way. Actually, it's the reverse. It's the upa gurus that point the way and sat gurus are the way. So he would be like an upa guru that points the way. And in 1969, he was in Vancouver giving a workshop, and as it really turned out, I not only still have the tapes of that workshop, but there was a newspaper at the time in Vancouver. It was called the Georgia Strait. And at that time, they ran an article about Baba Ram Dass, and they actually had in it the Who Am I technique that I shared with people tonight. That was called the Vichara, that actually originally came from Sri Ramana Maharshi. And the first time I did that technique, I just went right through the doorway and stayed there for about 3 days. It was just amazing. And every morning now when I wake up, I take time to give thanks to Baba Ram Dass. And I should also mention that recently I noticed on YouTube there are some recent interviews of Ram Dass, and the last book of his that I read was Still Here. And, of course, the most famous one by Ram Dass was Be Here Now. And Be Here Now, Now Be Here, is one of the classic yoga texts. I guess to me the two classic yoga texts would be Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda and Baba Ram Dass's Be Here Now. And with respect to Swami Satchidananda, now after I took a couple of years of training from Self-Realization Fellowship in from Los Angeles, which was the teachings of Paramahansa Yogananda, I was interested in having a spiritual teacher who was still in human form. And I sought out Swami Satchidananda. The last time I spent time personally with him was in Montreal in the mid-70s. And I've been a devoted disciple of his path of integral yoga since that time and currently. And just for information's sake, integral yoga is a combination of yogas. And I know in the West, people typically think of yoga as the physical postures or the asanas or the hatha yoga part. But in point of fact, yoga itself means union and union of you and your higher self. And there are the six branches of the integral yoga that Swami Satchidananda taught. Or hatha yoga, which are the bodily postures, of course, and karma yoga, which is the path of action through selfless service, bhakti yoga, which is the path of love and devotion to God, raja yoga, which is the path of meditation and control of the mind, and japa yoga, which is a repetition of mantra, and Jnana Yoga, which is the path of wisdom, which basically is around self-analysis and awareness. And so the integral yoga is a synthesis of all these yogas. And the goal of that would be a body of perfect health and strength, mind with clarity and calmness, and intellect as sharp as a razor, will pliable as steel, heart full of love and compassion, and a life full of dedication and realization of the true self. So his particular path was very appealing to me because it was a very balanced approach. And today, he still has centers around the world, and there's Yogaville is in West Virginia, where he has a temple there that he respects all the basic religions in the world, and his disciples still carry on his teachings there. And in my own opinion, he's one of the heaviest dudes that on the planet. And he was primarily, I guess, centered on the East Coast, and Yogananda was on the West Coast of America. And in my opinion, probably between the two of them, had the most influence on not only my life but the spiritual life of North America. Was there anything further that you might want to know there, Ken, or was that sufficient?
That's very sufficient. I just wanted to tell you I've enjoyed your shows and look forward to the ones in the future as well.
Well, I appreciate your calling in, Ken, and I remember you, I believe, from the first show, and I hope that you'll continue to listen. I know that my program is a little different format than most right now. At some point in time, I'm going to be having some guests on the program. I've spoken to Patricia Corey, who's the author of the Syrian trilogies of books, and I appeared on her show, actually, on BBS Radio 2, Beyond the Matrix. And I've also been speaking to Daryl Anka, who channels Bashar, and at some point in time I will have some guests on the show, but if you've hung in there to this point, I applaud you, because I'm basically trying to get lots of information out there, like information personally that I don't see anyplace else. I know you were there and you heard the first show, and you were one of our callers, and I remember that on the first show I talked about self-empowerment, and I talked about 10 basic concepts that were involved in order to become self-empowered, that the concepts that were needed to be understood. And then in the second show, if you didn't catch that one, it was about healing the known and the unknown. And basically it makes the connection between self-empowerment and healing, how to increase and strengthen your immune system. And this is a huge, huge issue today in the world with people's health deteriorating. I understand that in the late 1960s and early 70s, about 70% of the population was healthy, and now it's like 2%, and people's immune systems are deteriorating at an unbelievable rate. I even saw an article the other day that said that there's an article in Europe that says that life expectancy in North America, at the rate it's going by 2040, will be like 35 or 40 years old, and already we're 28th in the world, and life expectancy of 69. So, you know, these are subjects to me that are really dear to my heart, that I really I'm trying to get across the idea of the connection between self-empowerment and increasing the strength of the immune system. And, of course, tonight's show had to do with specific techniques that were both extraterrestrial and yogic. So the kind of information that I'm going to be putting out over the first half dozen shows or so are going to be lots of information. And like you say, if you've read some of my stuff, which you've indicated that you have, then you know that people can access this at my website at maxwellgreenside.com. And I certainly appreciate your following, and whatever following I have out there that's been steady listeners out there, I certainly appreciate it. And I'd like to close this evening by wishing you all a full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. Thanks, and good night.